You're listening to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Drive what Dan Hampton drives. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com today.
Welcome to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. I'm your host, John Solly. I'm the senior digital editor here at ChicagoFootball.com. You can follow me on Twitter at JSolly. Joining me in the studio is ChicagoFootball.com fantasy football writer, JC Talon. JC, how you doing today?
Doing well.
Good to be here. And joining us over Skype, Arthur Arkish of ChicagoFootball.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. Arthur, how was your fantasy week this past week?
Oh, it was okay. We were just talking about off the air. The two big wide receivers kind of got me. DeAndre Hopkins and Julio Jones had been on fire, but both had a letdown in the same week. So that was a little tough and pretty hard to envision beforehand.
Yeah, Hopkins was in a prime matchup this past week and just disappeared. And same with Julio against a pretty decent Minnesota secondary.
Yeah, that was surprising. I had those same two receivers in one of my leagues, and yeah, they really let us down.
All right, well, let's get you ready for a winning week this week. We're going to start with some news and notes. If you were watching the Sunday night game between the Patriots and Broncos, you saw Rob Gronkowski go down. I think everyone who owned him in fantasy had a panic moment right there. It really did not look good. They got the card out for him. And Gronk owners can breathe a bit of a sigh of relief. He's going to miss the next couple of weeks. Jimmy Graham owners, not so much. He's out. He wasn't doing much for you anyway. But this is that bad match with him in Seattle. I mean, who knows? That might be over at this point. So, guys, anybody own Gronk or anybody own Jimmy Graham in their leagues?
I have both of them. I have Gronk in one and Graham in the other. And, yeah, I agree. Gronk, that's tough. And there's just various reports. I don't know what you guys are hearing. I've heard anywhere from he could be back this week to he could miss multiple weeks. I guess it depends on who you listen to, but there's no structural damage, so that's really good. It becomes a pain tolerance thing. But obviously, Graham is gone, but he might do for Seattle what he would do for fantasy owners, open it up a little bit. And maybe if you've been riding with Graham, now you say, hey, I got to go find somebody else who might actually produce. So it might work out.
Arthur, I want to talk about the Patriots offense for just a little bit. If Gronk is out, I think some people might think that means LeGarrette Blount gets a little more work, but I still think that Blount is a matchup play only. What do you think?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, it was Brandon Bolden who got off last week with the big 60-plus yard touchdown catch. So, with Gronk down for an indefinite period, I think that the run game is going to be featured more. We've seen Belichick do it in the past, but I don't know that necessarily helps fantasy owners because it's such a week-to-week proposition, as you just alluded to. I mean, I ran to the waiver wire for James White once Deion Lewis went down. He came out with the big 2-touchdown game in his first extended action and then disappeared the past 2 weeks. So it's a really tough situation and really ironic that one of the most explosive offenses in real life is such a consistent source for headaches for fantasy players.
Is Scott Chandler a must-add if you're a Gronk owner?
I think he is, yeah. If you kind of closed your eyes, well, I guess if you close your eyes, that wouldn't exactly work. But if you just look at them standing there, Gronk and Chandler certainly have a strong resemblance. It's when they try and do anything, whether it's attacking the football, running after the catch, where you see the big difference. But just in terms of opportunity, it was clear that Brady trusted Chandler, was going in his direction quite often before and after Gronk went down.
Well, I speak for all Gronk owners. When you see the ball go up in New England, you're – is that Gronk? Oh, no, it's Chandler. Yeah,
exactly.
They do look a lot alike. I think the biggest problem right now, first of all, running backs are always tough in Belichick's offense because you never know exactly where he's going. But I think the big problem right now is the offensive line. And if they could just, maul people, Blount would be perfect. And I think at this point they would use a lot more of them. But they've got some offensive line problems regardless of the back they have in there.
All right, I want to move on. JC touched on this a little bit with Seattle starting to open up. Russell Wilson threw for 5 touchdowns, 345 yards, and kind of a shootout win against Pittsburgh this past Sunday. Guys, is Russell Wilson back? JC, I'll start with you.
Well, I like him. He's one of those guys I think he could have bought low on a little earlier in the year. I hate to overreact to one game, but He looked very good. I hate to overreact, but I'm going to. I think he's going to do well. And Graham not there, you know, that little voice in his head telling him to force the ball into Graham isn't going to be there anymore. And maybe he'll spread around a little bit more, run with the ball. I would not be surprised if he has a resurgence going forward.
Arthur, what do you think?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I don't think we do this very often on the show, so I will just take a second. I think it was about a month ago or less than that when we picked a couple guys that we thought might reward owners if they kind of stayed the course for the playoff stretch run. I remember a certain someone picking both Russell Wilson and Sammy Watkins. So a good week in those regards. Now if I just had any clue on the other 30 teams, we might be in business. But the reason I highlighted Wilson, and just to kind of piggyback what JC was saying, he actually has been really good in two straight games now. So he has 8 touchdowns and 0 interceptions over the past 2 weeks. And the reason Wilson is so exciting is one look at the playoff schedule for him, it couldn't be more ripe for the taking. You've got Baltimore in there. You've got Cleveland in there. We just saw what those two were capable of last week. And then championship week is the St. Louis Rams, who on paper look tough, but that defense has folded over the past couple weeks as well.
And that Cleveland game is at home, and that St. Louis Rams game, which is week 16, which is the championship game for a lot of people's playoffs, that's another home game too. So I agree. I think Russell Wilson is going to win some people some fantasy football championships going forward. Another note here, the Dolphins fired their offensive coordinator, Bill Lazor. Does Lamar Miller finally get going? He's had so many coaches this year, it feels like, or another guy in charge, and Dan Campbell has said that he wanted to run the ball, and it sort of did in his first game, and now they got away from it. Arthur, we've talked a little bit about Jay Ajayi. Is Ajayi worth picking up, or do you think, okay, now it's got to be Lamar Miller's show going forward?
Well, I think it's the latter. I did grab Ajayi in one league because it's hard to ignore what he's been able to do with limited, chances. But no, I think it's going to be the Lamar Miller show. I can't even tell you the name of this offensive coordinator they just promoted. But I saw his first quote was that they are going to run the football. He vowed to run the football. They only had 9 attempts for 12 yards last week. So absolutely, it should be time for Lamar Miller. But I have to say, and this is pretty, pretty impressive given all the coaching turnover, the scheme, subtle changes. Lamar Miller is fantasy's 6th leading running back this season, so it's not like he's really been letting down owners consistently. I just think it's it's the inconsistent usage, but he's quietly been a very solid fantasy contributor this year.
He is maybe one of the sneakiest fantasy guys over the past couple of years. Yeah, I think he was a top 10 running back last year too, wasn't he, JC?
Yeah, I think one of the things you see this year, you mentioned Sammy Watkins, Arthur mentioned him. Same thing with Lamar Miller. If you look at his game spreads, he has a big week, and then he completely disappears. He's only had 12 carries the last 2 weeks. I have no doubt that, and you hear this all the time, every new offensive coordinator, they never say, we're going to pass the ball every down. And they always say, we're going to run the ball, we're going to get back, and running the ball, especially with tough guy Dan Campbell. But keep in mind, you can only run the ball if it's effective. And the Ravens, who they play this week, are number 8 against the run. So you got to play Miller because he's got a couple 35-point outings, right? You're going to have to play him. But I'm not sure that he's going to be a consistent scorer every week.
All right, guys, last note. T.J. Yeldon, the rookie running back for Jacksonville. Is he ever going to get red zone work? In the past 5 games, he has 8 touches on 51 red zone snaps. I can't trust T.J. Yeldon in my lineup for that reason. I think he's a good player. I think Jacksonville doesn't really know what they have, but Yeldon is not getting work where he should be, right?
Well, I agree with you. He's a good player. Inconsistent offense that has been playing from behind in that Chargers game. They were down 2 scores most of the game. And they abandoned the run. He had 7 carries in the first quarter. He finished with 9. So, that's a tough one. I don't think you can depend on him. He's probably an RB2 or a flex guy.
All right, guys, we will move on. Who are your top waiver pickups this week? We're going to start at quarterback. JC, who's your top waiver pickup at quarterback this week?
Well, when you do these waiver pickups, you never know what league you're talking to. Yeah. So
we'll assume it's a standard league.
That were available in the leagues I play. Osweiler, who I think will probably start the rest of the year. Alex Smith, who's rebounding a little bit, and then Matt Schaub. And that's if you're really desperate.
Arthur, who are you looking at quarterback if you need to pick somebody up off the waivers this week?
Yeah, just to one more time reiterate how desperate you'd have to be because it's such slim pickings. I mean, Matt Schaub was the name I came up with, and I did that, I think, after his first interception Monday night as I was combing through our podcast rundown today. So, yeah, if you're counting on him for and let's remind – I don't think we need to remind them, but this is obviously the week. If you're making that playoff push, it's happening now. So you just have to cross your fingers. Big Ben gets back if you're in that position. I can't think of any other big quarterback injuries last week that would force you into Matt Schaub territory.
I'll throw one out, and I'll get into it when we preview the Bears 49ers. But Jay Cutler, he's got a pretty decent schedule if you can trust him. Going forward.
Yeah, he wasn't available in the leagues I checked, so yeah. But he would have been on my list, yeah.
All right, running back, who's everybody looking at on the waivers this week?
Well, it's David Johnson, right? He's the pick this week. Yeah. Last week it was Buck Allen. Mm-hmm. In a smaller league I'm in, I noticed C.J. Anderson was out there, but I doubt he's available in many leagues.
Arthur, who are you looking at if you need a running back off the waiver wire this week?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be David Johnson. If I can just take one moment to lament, the listeners on this show know what a man crush I have on David Johnson, the Northern Iowa product. But I have learned the hard way playing fantasy football this season, and I'd like to hope others don't have to go down this road. And I think I've talked about on the show, I had D'Angelo Williams early. I reaped the early benefits while Le'Veon Bell was out. I didn't have the patience to hold on to him, and I've been kicking myself, obviously, the better part of the past month of the season. Same story with David Johnson. He's finding different ways to find the end zone in the early going, and I found that I needed that roster spot somewhere along the way, and I let him go. So all I would say is if you have the foresight to get these elite running back handcuffs, good for you, but you also have to practice the patience with these guys when it seems like they're just burning up a roster spot.
I did the exact same thing with D'Angelo Williams. I drafted Le'Veon Bell. This is in my family league. We drafted Le'Veon Bell first and handcuffed him with D'Angelo because he knew Bell was going to be out for the first couple games. And then along the way, again, like you, I needed the roster spot. And my wife goes and picks up D'Angelo Williams and has just been reaping the benefits and might end up making the playoffs because of that. So, honey, you're welcome. Let's move on. Wide receivers. Who's your top waiver pickup, JC?
Doug Baldwin. That's he was available in both my leagues. So.
Yeah, why not? Arthur, Doug Baldwin seems like a good one.
Yep, along those lines, two more that aren't exactly under the radar because they just both had huge games. But obviously Marcus Wheaton, if he's still out there, if you look at the opportunity he'll have this week, it's another situation where there's one shutdown guy like Richard Sherman last week. It'll be Vontae Davis this week. And otherwise, he should have a pretty solid matchup because I think that obviously in the Pittsburgh offense, it's either going to be Brown or Wheaton attracting Davis. And then I throw Seth Roberts out there too. Obviously had the game winner as one of his two touchdowns for Oakland and has been a very quiet contributor out of the slot for kind of an ascending offense there with the Raiders.
I tell you, I like the Wheaton pick. I don't think it's points chasing this week because if you look at the Colts and their DVOA rankings against number three wide receivers and worse, they are one of the worst teams in the league. They do okay against ones and twos, but you start getting threes and fours and those guys just burn them. Tight ends, JC.
Well, you mentioned Chandler, so I had him at the top of the list. And then maybe Luke Wilson. I mean, he actually produced a little bit while Graham was still there, so take a shot on him.
Arthur?
Yeah, I think Chandler's the clear number one. Obviously, his his value is tied directly to Gronk, and that's a bit of a mystery with regard to the timetable and the knee injury. So Kyle Rudolph has also come on pretty solid the past couple weeks, and although the Seattle Seahawks on paper would appear to be well-equipped to handle tight ends, they haven't been very good this year. So in a big wild card preview, I think Rudolph could have another solid day in Minnesota.
I like it. I'll throw out one more. I looked this up just before the show. You know who's available in 30% of Yahoo leagues? Julius Thomas. That's not if you're in one of those 30% of leagues that Julius Thomas is out there, he's really got a connection going with Bortles.
Well, and
Allen Hurns just had the injury as well, who's their other big red zone guy. So I like that pick a lot. Thomas is getting a little healthier. Sorry about that, JC.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say, and it ties in with Yeldon not getting any carries in the red zone, right. So they go to the tight end. So that's a good pickup. He seems to be healthy.
All right, let's move on and preview the Bears 49ers game from a fantasy perspective. A couple of things. Arthur, I'm going to start with you. Sean Drawn, who I really just want to say Sean John at this point, he played 100% of the snaps for the 49ers last week. He's the leading target getter since Blaine Gabbert took over. Who is this guy, and is he fantasy relevant?
He's a career journeyman. He was actually in the Bears camp last year, and and seemed to have a pretty solid shot going down to the wire there for a roster spot, because he's, for the exact same reason you see him staying on the field for 100% of snaps last week, 91% the week before. He's kind of a jack of all trades, master of none, but they trust him in pass protection. They trust him as a receiver. That's the reason you've seen him actually get 20 touches in three straight games. So he's only turning them into, what, about an average of 8.5 points per game. But, you know, that certainly puts him in flex conversation, I think, or if you're as pitiful situation as I am in a couple leagues at running back. I actually played him as my RB2 last week, and it didn't work out, but I do think you could probably do worse just based off the opportunities.
By the way, if you're looking for a Netflix show, Master of None is a great one with Aziz in. Sorry. JC, is Sean Drawn worth rostering this week against the Bears defense that has actually done all right the past couple of weeks?
Oh, actually, I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth. I was going to say, first of all, San Francisco's offense is so pathetic. One of the reasons he's playing is that they don't have anybody else. I don't think Carlos Hyde will come back. If the 49ers are smart, which we know they're not, he probably shouldn't come back. But the Bears are giving up, I think it's 4.8 yards per carry. Yep. Near the bottom of the league, and if you needed a guy, this would be the week. He was my running back sleeper.
All right, one more note on the Bears 49ers trivia here. The 49ers defense on the road, woof. San Francisco has given up 12 touchdowns and has just 2 interceptions in road games. The QB's average rating, 121.3 compared to 82.8 at home, and they've given up 29 plays of 20-plus yards on the road. I threw out Jay Cutler as a waiver wire pickup. I'm firing up all of my Bears this week, Arthur.
Yeah, me too. I don't actually have many, but if I did, I'd have Alshon Jeffrey in there. Another lesson I learned the hard way, Jeremy Langford sitting on my bench because I wasn't sure about the touch proliferation there under Adam Gase with Matt Forte back. I'll tell you what, guys, Jeremy Langford is by far the more explosive option in that offense right now, even with a healthy Matt Forte. So I think you may have to think about getting him back in there. Martellus Bennett still isn't healthy. Get Zach Miller in there. If you're really desperate, Marquise Wilson. I mean, really, as John just said, that Niners defense does not travel well. You got to take advantage of it.
Yeah, Arthur, I think, you know, when you're at Hollis Hall, just ask John Fox what the touch distribution will be between Langford and Forte. I'm sure he'll tell you, right? You know. And that's the big question there, is what is going to be the distribution. I think Alshon Jeffrey is a must start, and I think solid plays include Cutler and Bennett if he's healthy. I saw some report is Eddie Royal might even be back. So, yeah, the Bears should do well. I will say the last 2 weeks at home, San Francisco's defense has looked pretty good there, but I don't know that will translate in the cold weather on the road in the central time zone.
Yeah, they've just been so bad on the road. I'm firing up all the Bears. Let's move on. We're going to conclude the podcast with our top plays. We're going to give you a top guy, a mid-range guy, and a sleeper at quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. JC, you've got the honors. Who are your top guy, mid-range guy, and sleeper at quarterback this week?
Cam Newton. Top guy, Cutler, mid-range, and Alex Smith is my sleeper at Oakland.
Arthur, who you got at QB?
That's a good question. I also have Cam Newton at the Saints. I think I could probably win a fantasy week against the Saints defense right now if an owner really needed it. Ryan Tannehill against the Ravens. We saw what that Ravens defense did with Josh McCown and even Austin Davis under center last night. And my sleeper is Brock Osweiler. He's been pretty darn impressive in the first two starts. Now he goes to San Diego where the Chargers don't play defense. And although it is a kind of a tough matchup just because Pagano, I think, has the ability to throw some things at an inexperienced quarterback. Back, you have to like what the Broncos offense has done of late.
Yeah, I think Cam's a top guy, but I wouldn't count out Carson Palmer at this point. I think the Rams mm-hmm. have pretty much given up on their season. Mid-range guy, Andy Dalton against the Browns. I feel so terrible for Cleveland. I really do. After the way they lost that game. And Cutler's my sleeper this week at QB. Let's look at running back, JC.
D'Angelo Williams, my top guy. I did also note if Jeremy Hill is healthy, the Browns have the number 31 run defense in the league, so keep an eye out for that, too.
Who's your mid-range guy?
Mid-range guy, I have C.J. Anderson, and my sleeper is Drawn.
All right. Arthur, who are you looking at running back, top guy, mid-range, and sleeper?
Yeah, apparently my value is off with JC's a little bit. I had D'Angelo as my mid-range guy. I guess maybe that was a little bit of a reach, but against that Colts defense, I don't think that Mike Tomlin and Todd Haley will ignore D'Angelo like Lovie Smith's bunch did with Muscle Hamster in the second half last week. So he's a really solid play. Colts, you know, that run defense has historically been very bad. Eddie Lacy I have at the top, 5.5 yards per carry over the past 2 weeks. I think he should be even an angrier runner this week because he wasn't around for the first meeting with the Lions. He was that surprising scratch right before game time 3 weeks ago. Until the Packers offense can figure something out, they've got to feed Lacy. And Buck Allen, you know, I didn't like seeing Terrence West eat into his carries a little bit last night, but Allen found the end zone. He was running hard, and that Dolphins defense is another one I think has largely phoned it in this year.
Yeah, D'Angelo is my top guy. I actually had Eddie in my mid-range guy just based off of his his DraftKings price. It's not it's only 5,000, which is a couple thousand less than what it was to start the year. Sleeper, I'm really out on a limb here, but I kind of like Amir Abdullah against the Packers. I think the Packers have really not figured things out. Abdullah, he's got to get going at some point, right?
They're really trying. If you saw the Thanksgiving game, they gave him 16 carries. They want him to be successful.
Exactly. I think the volume might be there. He's only 3,800 on DraftKings, so why not? Wide receiver, JC, who are you looking at?
DeAndre Hopkins at Buffalo is my top guy. I have Brandon LaFell versus Philadelphia as my mid-range guy. And my sleeper, Devontae Parker for Miami playing Baltimore at home.
The rookie, I like him. All right, Arthur, who are you looking at?
Yeah, I went the other way at the top with wide receivers. That Hopkins, Stephon Gilmore matchup worried me a little bit, so I'm going Julio Jones. I don't know who in that Tampa secondary can cover him. I like Michael Crabtree, in the mid-range against a Chiefs secondary that has not done much, just gave up so much to Sammy Watkins, obviously. And I'm also on the Devontae Parker train because if for no other reason, obviously, Rishard Matthews with the fractured ribs, and the Dolphins are reaching the point now where, and this goes for Jay Ajayi too, they better start figuring out what they have in some of this rookie class.
I actually don't have a mid-range guy. I'm cheating and taking two top guys this week, and it's Allen Robinson against Tennessee and Alshon against San Francisco. And I'm with you guys on the Devontae Parker sleeper, especially with Rishard Matthews out. We'll close it out with tight ends. JC.
Delanie Walker versus Jacksonville. My mid-range guy, and maybe he's a sleeper, but I had Scott Chandler. And then I had Cameron Brate from the Ivy League playing for Tampa Bay versus Atlanta as my sleeper.
There's a name we didn't expect to hear on the Fantasy Podcast this year. Arthur, who are you looking at tight end?
Yeah, at sleeper, I have another name I'm guessing we weren't expecting. And Vance McDonald, 49ers tight end, has a touchdown in two straight, and Blaine Gabbert has definitely shown a propensity to target his tight ends. In the middle, we talked about him a little bit already. I think Kyle Rudolph is an interesting guy. You actually may be able to get off the waiver wire. And up at the top, I'm going with Greg Olsen, again, against that Saints defense and continuing to be the clear number one for Cam, who's actually coming off, I feel like, somewhat of a disappointing fantasy output on Thanksgiving. But obviously, his Panthers remain at the top.
Walker's my top guy at tight end. Mid-range, I kind of like Jacob Tammy against the Bucks. If Leonard Hankerson is out, there was a great stat out on Twitter about how if Hankerson is out, Matt Ryan really does start to look at Jacob Tammy. So keep an eye on Hankerson's status. If he's out, I think Tammy's a great play. Sleeper, I kind of like Charles Clay going up against the Texans. So that's it for our top plays. That'll do it for the podcast today. Don't forget to get all of the best fantasy football news at chicagofootball.com from our fantasy experts and listen to our podcast each week. Our podcast is available on iTunes, so if you've not done so already, please head over and subscribe, write a review if you'd like, and never miss an episode. We want to thank our sponsor, your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. The Silverado is ready when you are. Get a head start on the new year with special offers and check out all of these Chevy truck selections at ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Drive what Dan Hampton drives. Big thanks to our guest on today's show, JC Talon and Arthur Arkish. Our producer today was Dan Mott. Our associate producer was Nick DeMaio. I'm John Solly for all of us at ChicagoFootball.com. We hope you have a great week of fantasy football.